It's time for Speak Out 2.0, a locally produced community affairs program for tri-state residents. From Kingman to Bullhead City, Laughlin to Needles and Lake Havasu City, to all the towns in between, Speak Out 2.0 features guests and topics covering politics, nonprofits, entertainment, and information on local events. Speak Out 2.0 is all about you, the KNTR Talk listener. Call in during the show, 702-298-1063. That's 702-298-1063. So turn up the radio. It's time for your host, Larry Tuneforce.
And happy Fraxus Friday to you, live from the Laughlin Mall. I'm Larry Tuneforce, and of course it's Beatle Friday, Fraxus Friday. So we play the Beatles there in the background. And this is Speak Out 2.0, brought to you by Mojave Shred, Mojave Electric Cooperative, Martin Swanee Hyundai in Kingman, Vaporium of Laughlin, and Eugene Williams Consulting, and he's in Laughlin. Our guest today is State Senator Sonny Borelli. He comes in once a month. And it's open mic. I mean, it's just we sit here and we chat. If you want to call in, if you have a question for Sonny, you can call us at 702-298-1063. We'll take your calls during the show. And Sonny's all excited because he just got a new case for his phone while he was here.
But it's open mic, so don't worry, folks. I won't sing.
Right. He won't sing and he won't cuss. So, Sonny, what's happening in the state of Maricopa?
State of Maricopa is completely unbelievably chaotic.
Yeah.
I'm glad to be back here away from the occupied territory of the state of Maricopa.
I'll bet when you come home for the three-day weekends that you've really got to unwind, huh?
Well, I really, yes. Well, yeah, I'm home for the 3 weekends, but or 3 days, but
yeah.
I'm usually not really unwinding very much because I'm usually running all over the district, meeting with this folks,
right.
That folks, and this kind of that kind of thing.
But there's got to be some downtime.
The downtime is actually that 3-hour drive back from Phoenix where you get to just really decompress and just can't believe that what you just heard over the week was and what was going on. And usually a lot of times you're frustrated because we're having to deal with certain people that are
stubborn
and. If you're stubborn on a certain principle, fine, but if they're stubborn and hanging on a false narrative, that gets frustrating.
Right.
Just like I've been trying to get a bill through. It's gotten hung up in the House a little bit. If it didn't pass the first time around, I'm having to bring it back for reconsideration.
What's your bill?
Well, it's Senate Bill 1024. What this does, it's a data collection for sales. Collection for sales for enforcement for medical marijuana.
Okay.
Medical marijuana is subject to sales tax,
right.
Transaction privilege tax. But what we're trying to do is make sure that when the Department of Revenue goes and does their audit, that the audit is done fair and it's accurate, that the information that they're giving to DOR, the dispensary, is true.
Right.
And we actually have something to gauge it against or match it up with data, just like you would treat the alcohol and tobacco companies or businesses. Those are all controlled substances. There's already protocols in place on how I do Department of Revenue when they go to collect the taxes on it. Because, you know, when somebody buys stuff, they pay the sales tax.
Right.
The business kid collects the tax. We just want to make sure that they're giving it to the state. We want to make sure we're not getting shortchanged, you know.
Well, and what's wrong with that?
There's nothing wrong with that.
I was going to say.
But,
when I go to Del Taco on my way here,
right.
and I hand her a 20, she hands me my change.
Sure.
And they count it out usually so that you know you're getting the right change, and they know they're giving you the right change.
Mm-hmm. Or for that matter, you use a credit card or a debit card, and because everything is tracked, and there's good banking, but the problem with the marijuana industry, it's cash.
True.
And the way the Medical Marijuana Act is written, there's a lot of gray area loopholes in there that are totally being exploited right now. And part of that is because of confidentiality issues. For an example, I'm just going to, when Department of Revenue goes and does an audit on the medical marijuana store, they obviously say, here's my books, and this is what we sold, and it's on the honor system. They have to take their word for it because there's nothing to find out if what they're selling is actually true or inaccurate on, when you look at the commodity itself.
So, in other words, what you're saying is they don't track their inventory versus their sales.
No, and the people that do track the inventory is the Department of Health. Department of Health tracks everything from the plant that's in the little pot that's in the growing in the grow facility, and they track that plant all the way through whether it's going to be the leafy substance, the call the flower, or an edible, or the extract, oil extracts, or vaping, anything that's got that THC in it, that certain level of THC has to be tracked by the Department of Health. But because there's this loophole that is being exploited and not being addressed, is because of confidentiality, the Department of Health cannot share that information, any information with the Department of Revenue, to include the name of the the name of the dispensary, the location of the dispensary. They can't share sales data. They can't share any of that because the license is confidential because of HIPAA laws and rules.
Wow. But that's kind of misleading because when you stop and think about it, the HIPAA doesn't come into place until the individual buys it.
Right.
Now, the Department of Revenue is not asking for Sonny Borelli's name as a patient XYZ marijuana shop.
Right.
They're not asking for the name of the patients.
No.
They're asking for how much did they receive in and how much did they sell.
Right, and everything is based on weight. So when the dispensary gets audited and they say, oh, we sold 20 pounds last quarter, then, you know, like I said, they have to take their word for it now. But if the Department of Health says, well, according to our records, it was 30 pounds, so they can give that to the Department of Health, DOR.
Right.
And DOR can say, hey, according to our records, it's 30 pounds, not 20 pounds. We have a little discrepancy here. We need to fix that.
Right.
What's the deal is, well, we had a sale. We did a buy one, get one free. Who knows, something like that.
Yeah.
But they can track that. But the problem is it's an all-cash business. So
it's hard to track.
You need to have that. So the marijuana industry is pushing back by saying this creates another layer that no other business has to deal with, which is a complete falsehood, for example.
Pharmacies.
Yeah. And, well, just something less than that.
Yeah.
Let's go with the liquor industry. So if a bar owner, he can only buy his product through a licensed distributor.
Right.
So he can only get a case of beer, which is 24 in a case.
Right.
He buys it from the distributor, pays the taxes up front when he does the purchase. But that same bar owner can get the same identical product and get a 30-pack instead of a 24-pack at the grocery store, cheaper, still pay the sales tax, but if they bring that outside commodity into the establishment, they're breaking the law, they can lose their license, they can get sanctioned, all that kind of stuff. So there's some checks and balances in there. The same thing also in the tobacco, with tobacco products. They have to buy things through a certain distributor. If they're going to Costco and they're buying another cheaper cigarettes and they bring it in, or for that matter, go to the Indian reservation and get
cheaper
cigarettes
and
then bring it in your store, that's going to improve your profit margin. But you're breaking that chain of controlled substance.
So your bill basically says you want the same checks and balances with marijuana as you do with alcohol and tobacco.
Right. And all the bill basically says is upon request from the Department of Revenue that the Department of Health shall share information, the name of the location, the name of the industry, the name of the store, and the location of the store or cultivation site, and product information to exclude patient identifiable information.
Right.
Because
nobody
needs to know that.
Nobody cares.
Right. And share that with the Department of Revenue. And of course, naturally, if you're not in compliance, if they're not in compliance with the law, they find a discrepancy in the audit, they could risk losing their resale license, TPT license. And if they're really habitual, then the Department of Revenue can report that to the Department of Health, and the director already has the authority to revoke a license anyway, but it says may revoke a license if they're not in compliance with everything else. So there's a lot of layers, but I'm just trying to make them being treated the same way you would treat. So this is not over-regulation. This is not a burden on the dispensary.
No.
Which is funny is the marijuana industry is putting so much pressure on the Democrats to vote against this.
Well, it sounds to me like the dispensary wouldn't come into play unless there's a discrepancy.
Right. Well, and they're saying, well, you're just putting another layer of responsibility on, and requirements on us that, you know, we don't need to have. Actually, we're not.
It doesn't the state sound would, like they would have actually, any, they would have no part of it.
Right. The actually
state agencies talking to each other.
Exactly. You get it. See, the mandate is actually mandating the Department of Health sharing certain information.
Right.
And not sharing certain information. That's all that is.
Well, I don't.
But, you know, the marijuana lobby is very powerful.
Oh, I'm
and,
sure.
And the Democrats are going to protect their special interest group. And but this is there's more to this than just that. I mean, it's amazing how all the stuff that they actually got the minority leader in the excuse me in the House of Representatives to literally parrot their information. You know, they were they're saying that this is not needed, and this is really funny. This is not needed because DOR, Department of Revenue, already has the tools and resources to be able to do an audit for which is I'm not denying it, but they
right.
said. And the IRS, well, the IRS does income tax, they don't and corporate taxes, they don't do sales tax. So, you know, so I'm having to go through this thing line item by line item and say these are half truth. Yes, DOR can do an audit of the dispensary, but the IRS is only for income tax and corporate income taxes, not sales taxes. However, there are no checks and balances in place. You know, so what I'm trying to do is just kind of close that loop here.
Right.
You know, and here, a lot of people don't understand this, but the marijuana industry, they're all incorporated as nonprofit corporations.
Oh, they are?
Yeah, they're not a for-profit corporation. They don't have shareholders. They have board members.
Okay.
And even the board members, because they're licensed, are confidential.
So, really?
So, and here's the problem that even the county assessors have been having a problem with. When they want to go out and do an assessment on a dispensary or a grow facility,
right.
they call Department of Health and say, hey, where are these grow facilities at? We want to get an ongoing business operation. We need to go out and do our thing. And they say, well, we can't give you that information. Well, why not? Well, it's protected.
No, it's not.
It's voter protected. It's the voter. It's the Arizona Medical Marijuana Act is voter protected. We can't give up this information because they all have to have a license, and everybody that has a license is confidential. So,
wow.
Department of Health can't give out that information to county assessors. The Secretary of State's office does not have that. If you go
and
try to find it.
So it's funny because the one medical marijuana place we have in Bullhead City,
yeah.
the name of the business is the owner's first name.
Yeah.
Debbie's.
Yeah.
And so.
Well, there's a couple others. Well, there's
yeah.
a couple others down the road. But,
right. But she's not concerned about confidentiality,
right.
obviously.
But we're talking about the other counties, and,
right.
and our county assessors has been able to find. They know she knows where the grow facilities are. She's very resourceful, so she's.
Yes.
We don't have this problem here in Mojave County. Okay,
right.
This is only the state of Maricopa
yep.
and Pima, the state of Pima, and this is what they do, and they're very protectionist, you know, about
so
their industry. So like I said, even the county assessor can't even do that. By the way, they assess what? The property tax.
Right.
That goes to schools.
Yeah.
But it's amazing how the Democrats are pushing back on this because that's school money.
Yeah.
We need to raise taxes. We need money for schools. But yet they are stonewalling something that gets us done.
Yeah.
So, like I said, that's just on the county assessor. So even when the Department of Revenue says, hey, I want to go and I need a list of all the dispensaries so we can go do an audit. We can't give that to you.
So now what's the process of your bill at this point in time?
Well, the bill needed 45. This is what's amazing. It passed out of the Senate unanimously.
Okay.
I had to amend it, or I gave my word I would amend a shall to a may in the House. I gave my word, passed out of the Senate unanimously, went to the House committee. I amended it there, passed out of there 10-0 unanimously, went through the Rules Committee 8-0 unanimously. But when I got to the floor, that's when the marijuana lobby worked overtime to get with the Democrat leadership to vote against the bill. And I needed 45 votes in the House. I only got 41.
Oh, okay.
So it died. I need to bring it back for reconsideration. I was going to bring it back on Thursday, Wednesday. But when I went over to the House to find out and make sure, because I did my recount of votes, I had to explain some things to some Democrats, explain how it worked, and
right.
kind of poke holes into some of the things that was set on the floor and convince them and show them black and white. And they said, hey, Sonny, you need to, delay this because we're getting hammered by our leadership, Democrat leadership. They're standing on our necks telling us to change our vote to a no and don't support this. This should be strictly a partisan issue. I'm like, this has nothing to do with partisanship.
I was going to say, it's revenue for the state.
This is about revenue. This is about two government agents talking to each other. I mean, the 2 days ago, you guys were wailing away for 2 hours on deregulating somebody blow-drying your hair, And now here it is. This is just bringing in simple regulations to be parity with all the other controlled substance businesses. And it's a sales tax. So you guys are against this? And they go, well, look, leadership is just on us. You need to talk to leadership. Can you help us out with this and give us more ammunition? I'm like, okay. So I held the bill on Wednesday. I'm going to bring it back on next week, probably Tuesday.
So between now and then, you got to start calling a lot of people, meeting with people.
Well, I've already come in doing that. I've had a few people have been sending out the emails going, here's what they're saying, and here's a lie. And by the way, everything I'm saying can be verified with the Department of Revenue and Department of Health. And I've been telling all my House members, Republican members over there, stand down. I just need the 45 votes. But if it's not getting the 45 votes, I'm going to let you guys loose. And there's about 15 Republican members ready there to hammer them on the hypocrisy and the double standard of this business, because it will make your hair turn even more gray.
More gray. Yeah. All right. We're visiting with State Senator Sonny Brill. He's very passionate about his causes. But, I mean, to me, this makes sense. But then I'm not in the politics. So we'll take a break. We'll be right back.
If your business possesses sensitive documents, your compliance partner, Mojave Shred, is here to help. Sensitive information is as seemingly insignificant as a document with a person's name and address. Numerous laws put many businesses at risk of enormous fines and penalties. Mojave Shred provides compliance training and administrative assistance in maintaining high data security standards at no cost to your business. Serving the entire tri-state, Mojave Shred is flexible, affordable, and local. Nationally recognized certified secure destruction specialists. MojaveShred.com.
The standard has been set. Now you can drive the 2019 Hyundai Ioniq Hybrid for less than $30,000. The Hyundai Ioniq Hatchback delivers 55 miles per gallon around town. Combine that with one of the world's best warranties and sought-after technology like Apple CarPlay, Android Auto, and a rear-view backup camera. Whether you're looking to save the planet or save money, Martin Swamy Hyundai in Kingman has just the car for you. Hyundai's Ioniq. Visit Martin Swamy Hyundai today. Stockton Hill Road in Kingman and martinswamyhyundai.net.
Quit smoking now and head to the Vaporium of Laughlin, the premier vape supply shop. With their wide selection of e-liquid to hardware, Vaporium also prides themselves in high-quality customer service and vape shop experience. Try before you buy. Don't have vaping remorse. The members-only program is free to join. Receive coupons, access to sales pricing before the general public, invites to special events, and more. The Vaporium is thanking all our veterans with a special veterans discount. The Vaporium of Laughlin, across from the Golden Nugget.
There's a bright star on your horizon. It's Star Checking from Horizon Community Bank, and it rewards you month after month. You can earn a rate currently more than 15 times the national average for interest-bearing checking or balance, up to $25,000. Visit the bank that is proud to be locally owned and managed. Visit your local Horizon Community Bank in Havasu, Fort Mojave, Quartzsite, and Parker. For more information about Star personal checking accounts, member FDIC.
Mojave Marketplace, your destination, is the place to party this Saturday. Come fuel up, snack up, and get your fun on at Mojave Marketplace's fourth Customer Appreciation Day. It's all for you and the kids. Great giveaways, free burgers and dogs, music, bounce house, tons of games, plus an egg hunt at 2. Mojave Marketplace thanking you for another great year. So don't miss your Customer Appreciation Celebration on the corner of Highway 95 and Joy Lane this Saturday, April 13th from 10 to 4. Mojave Marketplace, your destination.
All right, and we're back on Speak Out 2.0 with State Senator Sonny Borelli, and the show again is brought to you by Mojave Shred, Mojave Electric Cooperative, Martin Swanee Hyundai and Kingman, Vaporium of Laughlin, and Eugene Williams Consulting, also here in Laughlin. And if you have any questions for Sonny, you just give us a call, 702-298-1063, or it's 106.3. And so it's also our dial position. It's easy to remember the phone number. So Sonny's reading from his phone here.
Yeah,
and
well, a lot of times I got to stay on top of these emails I keep getting.
Yeah.
But you know, Larry, it's really frustrating is the hypocrisy and double standards, you know, because the Democrats are always saying we need to close the big loopholes in these big corporations.
Yeah.
We need to start collecting our taxes, and people need to pay their fair shares. So when you show them something, hey, there's a huge tax loophole here, We need to fix this.
And you just want two state agencies to talk to each other.
And that's all the bill does. Yeah. Share information without patient information, maintain people's privacy, but share some information so they can do some checks and balances to make sure that you're keeping businesses honest.
Right.
Like any business. And they say, well, the Department of Health is not in the – it's crazy. They say, well, the Department of Health is not the responsibility to collect taxes. Well, you're right. They don't.
Yeah.
There are regulatory agencies, and that's all they do. And, yeah, you're right. But there are some regulations that they have to
share
follow through with.
Yeah.
But they're – you know, hey, they don't collect taxes. Neither does the Department of Gaming. Department of Gaming doesn't collect taxes. The Department of Liquor doesn't collect taxes, but they do the regulation. But they have the data to make sure that somebody's playing by the rules.
Let's talk liquor. Does liquor and the tax organization talk to each other?
Yeah.
Okay, so that works.
Yeah.
Asking to do is do the same thing over here with marijuana that they do.
I'm just saying using existing protocols that one industry literally has for the last 6 years or seven, how long marijuana has been in Arizona. They've been enjoying this major loophole. I mean, this is how crazy. Think about this. If you went to a dispensary and you did your audit, and they said, oh, we only sold 20 pounds last quarter.
Right.
Okay, well, if you find out from Department of Health that it was like 40 pounds.
Yeah.
So you have
20 pounds in stock, right?
You got 40 pounds difference there.
Yeah.
Or 20-pound difference. Well, that needs to be mitigated. Figure out what that deal is. But here's the issue. The marijuana industry, they're nonprofit corporations. They're incorporated as nonprofits. That's the way the Marijuana Act was set up, not corporations. So the board members are board members, no shareholders, but the board members that run it, well, you don't even know who they are. That's confidential. Now, they have to zero out at the end of the year. That they don't get a tax break except for they zero out at the end of the year so they don't pay any taxes, right?
Okay.
The IRS has nothing to do with that, but they have to zero out at the end of the year. So let's just think. Say that, okay, what if they say it's 20 pounds, but what if it's 200 pounds that quarter?
Yeah.
So then I'm like, okay, well, fine, you owe us money on the 200 pounds. Okay, but wait a minute, where's the rest of the money go?
Right.
Well, because they have to zero out at the end of the year. Well, obviously, they have a lot of overhead. They got a lot of electricity because they got, you know, the lights and everything else. So they have a huge overhead. I'm not going to dispute that. So they can have that in writing. But if they're saying, okay, we made X amount of dollars that we have to zero out on, so we can say we spend it all on here, you know, or here's our bills. Our bills, let's just say our bills or our overhead's $1 million a year. Well, we brought in $1 million worth of stuff or sold, but so there it is. We zero out. That's what we're going to report.
Right.
So it's the honor system. And you know what? You have a lot of cash in somebody's hands. They're not going to be – there's not – people don't get very – that honesty usually goes pretty out the door pretty quick.
Yeah. Well, and – I don't understand any reason why their board would be secretive.
Well,
you know,
that's because
if you go to the Salvation Army is a nonprofit.
Right.
Everybody,
when they think nonprofit, they think of a mutual benefit organization such as like the Boys and Girls Club.
Right. Yeah.
You know, and now they have no. If they want to make a salary, they can do that. And nonprofit doesn't mean non-lucrative.
Right.
But since they're on all cash businesses, it opens up a huge door for a lot of you know, money laundering, tax fraud, theft. I mean, you name it. And not only that, but even the employees that work in the dispensary have to be licensed too.
Yeah.
So which means their identity is also confidential. So. When they say we're paying our employees, well, which employees are you paying? Because we need to find out how you're paying them. Or we're paying them under the table. We're paying them cash.
Yeah.
How are you guys paying them? Well, we can't tell you because it's confidential.
And in no other business is it
this
like
is
that
the
way.
Only right. It's the only one. And
so even in a pharmacy where, again, all the patients are confidential, the people behind the counter get paid. The managers get paid. The owners get paid.
Yeah, they're usually getting paid by check. Yeah.
Yeah.
And
I understand why. It's the federal government that won't let them deposit their money, right?
Yeah.
So that I understand. But that still doesn't mean that you can't present the individual with a statement that said, this week you made this much money, and this much went into your taxes for state, this much went into your taxes for federal, this much went into your insurance.
But isn't it amazing how a nonprofit corporation is worth over $850 million? One recent sale, one guy, he sold combined a bunch of his licenses together, and he sold them recently for $850 million. Now, by the way, these are the people that are actually fighting against this bill, and they're the ones that also want to put this recreational back up on the ballot.
Well, I have a question now.
And now here we have a lot of problems with the medical program. For example, the pesticides, you know. The patients don't even know what kind of pesticides they're using. Are they using Eagle 20? Because it's antifungal pesticide, banded tobacco. Why is it banded tobacco? Because it's a heavy carcinogen. So if you're a cancer patient and you're taking medicine that you think is going to help you for your cancer, it could actually be making you sicker.
Right.
Or, for that matter, the mold and bacteria that they're selling that, you know, that the Department of Health has no authority to go even look on. Now, when the Department of Health wants to go in there and do a normal inspection, now you were a fireman, so you'll understand
right.
this, okay? So if the Department of Health wants to go do an inspection from everything from a Burger King to an abortion clinic, they can go in there during normal business hours, correct?
Right. Yeah.
Except for the medical marijuana industry, they have to give them reasonable notice of 5 days in writing that we're coming on Thursday at 3 o'clock to inspect your place. So when they do get there...
Everything's perfect.
Everything is not only perfect, but there's nothing there. Everything is locked up. There's no product around. Even
okay, so
no
now I have a question for you.
So when you wanted to do a fire inspection as a fireman, you could
just walk in.
You just walk in.
Yeah. So now I have a question
wait,
for
wait,
you.
So we actually ran a bill for that. I asked Senator Boyer to run the bill for me on this one. I said, bro, I'm the whip, so I'm not running a lot of stuff, but here's a good winner for you. Let's run this bill. If you can do this one, I'll help you out with it. He goes, oh, yeah, this is a good bill. So it goes up in the Senate, and it has to have 23 votes, and it fails with 17-13. Every Democrat voted no to kill it because they want to make sure that nobody can go into a dispensary without – it's too much government. It's amazing how the government – The caucus that is so big on government, big government.
Doesn't want me to be able to do
not,
anything.
Not doesn't want the government to do anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
So now I have a question for you.
Okay.
If a hospital, Warm Sea in Bullhead City, Western Arizona Regional Medical Center, was a not-for-profit hospital, then when it sold, and also Baptist Systems in Phoenix was a not-for-profit mm-hmm. hospital, so then it sold. Okay, by federal statute, the money that it's sold for, because it's nonprofit, so where does that money go? That money has to go into foundations in the market that the hospital served.
Mm-hmm.
So then we created Legacy in Bullhead City. So we have the Legacy Foundation, which is money from the sale, and the way it works basically is that the money from that sale goes into a deposit, and they give away every year the interest,
mm-hmm.
okay, and it's got to go for health and safety in the market that the hospital served.
Yeah.
Same in Phoenix with Baptist Health Systems. So now, when a not-for-profit, you
marijuana company,
you brought this up a minute ago, where a guy put three or four of his license together and he sold them.
Right.
Where'd the money go?
Oh, it's going to go to. Well, actually, I'm sure he'll divvy it up to the rest of the board members. But then it goes into a legacy. Yeah, it goes into a legacy fund. The legacy of his family. Because it's going in his own pocket.
That's
it's not
right.
going. It's not going to a mutual benefit to help out any other charities. The charity is going to be their own personal charity of my family. Yeah.
So exactly. Then that's not nonprofit.
So this is right. It's a big scam that everybody was. This was perpetrated and promoted on the citizens of Arizona. It's a complete. It's a lie.
Now
it's all based on a lie. They say this is medicine. We need to take care of patients. Yeah. It's not about profit. So that's why it's a nonprofit. But they set it up as a nonprofit because. We want to put people before profits, but bottom line is it's all about profits. It has nothing to do with people or patients. Otherwise, they would be helping us try to do some kind of regulation on the pesticides. For example, I ran the bill, my pesticide bill. I tried to do it last year. This time I said, okay, instead of doing one bill with a whole bunch of stuff, I'll do it little slivers on it. So I will just address the pesticides. So I ran the bill to pesticide. To all we're going to do is the product that they can use can only be used as the ones that are federally approved, USDA and farm, all that kind of stuff, all the other alphabets that the feds have. Okay, that's the only one that can be used, and the Department of Agriculture will oversee that program because they have the expertise as plants.
Right.
They have plant services division. Let's treat this like an agricultural product so that way it's being done right and the protocols are in place. So it goes into committee, and then I'm getting in some. You know, I got out of that first committee, but they said, "Well, you work with one of the lobbyists here that represents the dispensaries. Will you work with them because they have some concerns?" I'm like, "Sure." So I meet with them. They said, "Well, would you be interested in looking at how Nevada does it? Because that's what we would prefer." I said, "Oh, great! Show me their law." So like 2 weeks goes by, I don't hear nothing.
Don't need to reinvent the wheel.
So the night before it goes to committee in the appropriations committee to be heard, I get an email the night before, which is too late to amend.
Right.
You know, in committee. So I get it. I look at it. I'm like, "Wow, it looks kind of familiar." Okay. I printed it off. You know, when I got in the morning, I went to the lawyers in the Senate and said, "Here's my bill. Here's Nevada's law. What is different?" It said nothing. Other than verbatim, it does the same identical thing. I said, okay, Department of Agriculture does the same thing in Nevada. Okay, on the pesticide, it's the same level. These are only approved. I mean, it was almost identical. So now I'm in committee. Next morning, then I get an email from the committee or from the lobbyist that morning, which I'm sorry, but you're still a little late.
Yeah.
And in committee, they're fighting it. We don't want, we want this to be like Nevada. I'm like, well, it does verbatim. Here's Nevada's law that you sent me this morning, and I passed that around the committee. And, well, we don't want Department of Ag to do it because that expands government. I said, no, it doesn't expand government. Well, this would expand government. We want Department of Health to do the pesticides. I said, well, that would be an expansion of government. That goes beyond their normal scope of practice.
And you don't get to dictate to the state how the agencies are ran.
Right. So they're saying, well, you're not working with the lobbyists. You don't work with the stakeholders. You keep, you're being very, I'm being so pushed back, or stonewally or whatever, stubborn. I said, well, it's hard to negotiate with somebody who keeps moving the goalposts.
Yeah.
You say you want me to use Nevada's rules and law and their procedure, and here it is. It does the same darn thing. And yet when I go and do it, then you're going, no, we don't want ag to do it. We want some. It doesn't go in there. Wait a minute, you keep moving the goalposts. I mean, the goalpost is completely outside the stadium now.
Yeah.
So when
makes it hard to play ball.
Right. So, you keep moving or keep changing things. So it went up, like I said, it went up to on vote, and it went 17-13 right down party line. Republicans are going, yeah, it makes sense, Sonny, I don't know why you're trying to make marijuana legitimate, but, well, hey, look, I just want to protect people,
Right.
But the Democrats, the lobby pushed back, and they said, no, we don't want any oversight. We want to use whatever chemicals we can use because we want to be able to – we don't care about poisoning people.
All right.
We just care about –
we're going to take a break, and Sonny's going to get his blood pressure down during the commercials, and we'll be right back.
National Notary Association member, founder Las Vegas Chamber of Adobe Acrobat User Group, Veterans First Program member, Mr. Eugene Williams is the trusted and reputable source for your business admin. Eugene Williams Consulting is offering unique and solution-oriented support for your business presence in Nevada, way below the standard rate. Eugene provides mail forwarding, free notary public, licensing, posting compliance, Nevada agent registration, and more for just $50 a month. Don't get behind in your business needs and go to EugeneWilliamsConsulting.com.
The standard has been set. Now you can drive the 2019 Hyundai Ioniq Hybrid for less than $30,000. The Hyundai Ioniq Hatchback delivers 55 miles per gallon around town. Combine that with one of the world's best warranties and sought-after technology like Apple CarPlay, Android Auto, and a rear-view backup camera. Whether you're looking to save the planet or save money, Martin Swamy Hyundai in Kingman has just the car for you. Hyundai's Ioniq. Visit Martin Swamy Hyundai today. Stockton Hill Road in Kingman and martinswamyhyundai.net. Joe saw an old boat for sale on the side of the highway. It looked decent until he saw that nasty-looking interior. Joe made a lower-than-asking-price offer, and he got the boat. He took it to the upholstery shop in Bullhead City. They did the carpet, engine cover, seats, and rails inside the boat look like new. In just a few days, the boat's value increased right along with Joe's ego. Take it to Dave Miner at the upholstery shop. Highway 95 across from Carl's Jr. in Bullhead City. It's worth the drive.
The stores and outlets inside the Laughlin Outlet Center offer savings of up to 70% off every day. Up to 70% off the brand name things you really want. Take in a new release at the Stadium 9 Cinema. There's something for everyone at the Laughlin Outlet Center. I'll see you there on Casino Drive, Laughlin.
The Laughlin Outlet Center, the place for value and style.
Varicose veins are more than just a cosmetic problem. They can indicate a vein disease known as venous insufficiency, which can cause permanent skin color changes in the legs and even lead to skin ulcers. The interventional radiologists at High Desert Vein Center perform a simple, minimally invasive procedure called venous ablation. This can bring patients better circulation and appearance. For more information, call High Desert Vein Center in Kingman at 718-0180.
Speak Out 2.0. Larry Tuenforce live from the Laughlin Mall with our state senator, Sonny Borelli. And Speak Out again is brought to you by Mojave Shred for secure document protection. Mojave Electric Cooperative, they got that co-op card that saves you money. I don't know why you don't have one in your wallet. You should just pull it out everywhere and see if it's going to save you a buck here or there.
Yep.
Martin Swanee Hyundai in Kingman. And, of course, there you can go up and you can test drive a brand new Hyundai. You can buy one for under $30,000, and you can't beat that. And then also we have Vaporium of Laughlin. And if you want to stop smoking, they will help you. They got the Vaporium stuff, but they've got directions and everything else, so stop in there and talk to them. They're right across from the Golden Nugget. Eugene Williams Consulting, he was a guest on our show yesterday, and we spoke with him a lot about business growing and services that he provides. So those are our sponsors. We're back with Sonny Borelli. If you have a question for Sonny, give us a call, 702-298-1063, which is our frequency,
10.63. Yep.
Okay. So now, Sonny.
Just to recap, finish up. So okay. It's going to go back up on the floor on next week, hopefully Tuesday, no later than Wednesday. And I hope the Democrats wake up and see that they're being lied to, because I'm giving them all a whole bunch of information that proves that
And they're being lied to by the
marijuana lobbyists. Yeah,
the lobbyists. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Because you want to put some common restrictions.
It's just not even restrictions. It's just making it parity.
And like you said, this is two state agencies to talk together. It has nothing to do with the guy buying it. It has nothing to do with the guy selling it.
And there's no other mandate on the dispensaries because what they're supposed to do is just pay taxes. You know, I mean, that's it. So. And make sure that they're reporting accurately, and that's fine. I think everybody can agree with that.
If they're doing that, then nothing changes.
If you want to be a business, legitimate business, then let's treat you like one. If you're going to be a medicine, let's treat you like a medicine. Once again, I'm going to put this baby up on there, and there's a lot of things that didn't pass. Like I told you about the time to go in there to do an inspection.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Because that failed. I'm putting this in a SCR that's going to referral to the ballot. In 2020 to fix all the Medical Marijuana Act loopholes and glitches in there that need to be done, and that's going to be some of the testing for the pesticides, and hopefully Senator Gallin's bill that test for the testing of the mold and bacteria, hopefully that passes. But I'm not holding my breath on that one.
Right.
And if his bill fails, it's going to go in that SCR. It's going to go back to the ballot, because this is the only way to get it done, because the Democrats are so dug in on protectionism of this their baby, and they're upset with me too, because that's going to, I only need 31 votes to get that out of the House.
Yeah.
Instead of 23, 45, that's going to be referral to ballot, and the marijuana industry is already pushing back on that, because that's going to be a competing ballot. Proposition, because the recreational is going to be on the ballot, and this reform is going to be on the ballot at the same time. Now, let's just talk about that recreational part. No, Colorado, everybody says, oh, well, Colorado this, Colorado that. Colorado, when they did their recreational, they put a lot of restrictions and certain levels of protocols on the pesticides and the molds and the bacteria and all that kind of stuff. They did that for recreational. Now, when it does not meet that threshold, that standard, they can't sell it for recreational. It's all right.
Okay.
So they can sell it to the medical dispensaries that have no restrictions whatsoever.
Wow.
So that's why I keep saying, folks, vote no on this recreational garbage, because what you're going to do is you're going to give people a license to steal and poison people, and it's not going to do anything good. The people that are writing this stuff, they have their own agenda. It has nothing to do with people, patients, and all that kind of garbage. It's all about profits, and that's the hypocrisy I despise.
Yeah.
I despise the masquerade. I despise the masquerade of the medical program, because they're not doing what they're saying. They promised to everybody. They even promised that if the medical passed the ballot, they would never put it up for recreational.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
Well,
yeah.
That was a hope and a dream.
I tell everybody, put the bong down for about 30 days, and let's clear our head, and let's have a decent conversation and try to work out some problems. But anyway, that's my big deal. I've been messing around with the last couple of weeks, and on the majority whip in the Senate. I'm not running a lot of bills. I'm trying to help out
when
members get this
done.
When
you say you're the majority whip, explain how that works.
Well, in the Senate and the House, there's leadership positions. In the Senate, you got the president of the Senate, Karen Fann, and then the majority leader is Rick Gray, and I'm the majority whip. So I'm going to whip the votes or whatever, and I do the seating assignments on the floor and parking spaces assignments.
Oh, my God.
And then everything's got set up at first, and then office spaces. So when you're really powerful when you're doing parking spaces and office spaces.
So you're the secretary.
No. I'm like the gunny still. I'm the gunny. So when there's a problem, you know, I try to help out, get members' bills pushed through committee or through the, you know, through the Senate. And then when they go over to the House, I try to help out my members get those things when they get.
Do they really worry about parking spaces?
Well, yeah, you got to have assigned spaces in the Senate parking lot and the House parking lot.
Oh,
yeah.
My God.
Yeah, it got really interested in that one. That was kind of fun.
Well, I could see if there was somebody that was handicapped that needed to be closer
well,
to the door.
Well, there's a couple of people that are.
But other than that, does anybody really care where they park?
Oh, believe it or not. Oh, yeah, believe it or not.
Really?
Now, I'm very respectful. There's a couple of ladies that are very seasoned, and I made sure I put them up front and close to the door. And, you know, but it was really kind of funny. Wow. One of the senators, female senator, last year, I was walking into the Senate floor and Senate door from outside, and
right.
You know, so I opened the door up for this young person to come through,
right.
And I held the door open for him. He goes, "Thank you, sir. You're welcome." And I held the door open because I saw this female senator coming.
Right.
You know, so I just waited. You know, I'm a gentleman.
I know, it's a gentleman.
My mother would
do.
Smack me in the back of the
exactly.
head if I just walk in and
uh-huh.
just, you know. So I held the door open, and then she says, "You know, I can open the door. I can open up my own door. I really don't need your help." I'm like. Yeah, I know that. I'm kind of trying to be a gentleman.
Yeah, I know.
You know, I can do it myself. You know, that toxic masculinity. I'm like, oh.
Wow.
Okay. All
and,
right.
And the unfortunate thing about that is you find that everywhere.
Well, so.
I know.
So right after the election.
It's not just a Senate thing.
So here I am. You know, we've got new members coming in, so I have to reassign people's parking spaces. And this person comes up to me and says, "Hey, Sonny, can I ask a favor? What's that?" "Well, you're doing this parking assignments, right?" I'm like,
right.
"Yeah." "Well, can I make a suggestion?" I'm like, "Sure." I mean, I'm always, sure, you know. "Can you put all the women up close to the building, closest at front, closest to the door?" I go, "Why?" "Well, you know, because of our hair and the wind, and sometimes it rains." I said, "Well, if I gave you women preferential treatment, wouldn't that be called, wasn't that toxic masculinity?" And I just walked away.
Oh, it's the same person, huh?
Yeah.
Oh.
"Isn't that toxic masculinity?" She's got no sense of humor, but...
Yeah.
But I take care of people.
But
you know,
on days when it rains, they have this thing called an umbrella.
Yeah, I'm amphibious. I run in between the rains.
Yeah. Well, we're about out of time. What else do we want to talk about?
Well, you know
what?
Leo Biasucci's doing a great job. You know, he's a freshman.
He's coming in. My sheet's over there, but he's coming in later this month.
Yeah, good. Yeah. He's doing a good job.
So
you know,
Gina.
And Gina's doing a phenomenal job, and she's the committee chair for the appropriations in the House, so she's... She's up to her eyeballs in alligators right now because, you know, we're going through the budget stuff right now. But, you know, that's a high-stress position right there when you're trying to get that done. And, of course, you know, trying to balance your own personal life. This is not an easy job. This is not a – but I'm very glad to be able to do it. I'm very honored to be able to do this job.
And the pay is still like 24, 25 grand a
year? Yes, 24,000 a year. Yeah, I know half the pay goes to Phoenix for the rent in Phoenix.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a car payment that you have to burn up a car every 4 years.
Yeah.
I mean, I get 30,000 miles on my car every year.
Because it's driving back and forth.
And our district is just so big. And that's fine. Hey, you know what? It keeps me busy, and that's cool. I love getting out. I like getting around. I don't want to be sitting around the TV.
I know.
You know,
because
it just, you know, your body gets kind of stoved up sitting around too long. But I'm having fun. As long as I'm effective in Phoenix for us, then I'll keep sticking to it. I mean, it took me, you know, 5 years to get just to get ADOT, kick them in the butt to fix Highway 72 and get a left turn lane in going. As you're going westbound on 72 in Bouse, there's a left turn lane to turn left to go to a little elementary school there. Well, it's a two-lane road. There's a right turn lane when you're going east, but when you're coming west, there's no left turn lane. So, and it kind of went around this kind of a goofy curve to it. So a lot of people would go off to the right side of the road to go around somebody that's turning left.
Oh.
And it would put these big ruts in there, and there's been a lot of cars have been flipped over and a couple of deaths on that spot. And I pushed and pushed and pushed for ADOT to do something about that and get a left turn lane in, straighten it out, do something. Because I just had this horrible thought or vision of seeing a school bus getting rear-ended by a tractor trailer because there's no way around that. And, you know, I showed all the data to ADOT that they were, you know, getting a runaround. Well, there's been no deaths there. When you show them the proof, they go, "Where'd you get that?" "I got it from you guys." So construction on Highway 72 is actually coming to fruition, and they're paving it really that one spot, you know, in coming from Vicksburg Road, coming west.
Okay.
And
so then they're working on that now.
They'll left turn lane it, and it should be done another, I think, by the end of the month. So.
Oh, okay, good.
You know, so
are they the most difficult agency to work with in our state?
ADOT? No, not really. It all comes down to the money, and then of course they can do the planning, everything else. Usually it's a 5-year plan anyway when you're trying to get something done, but. You know, they've been very open to get things accomplished. Little things.
But I'm hearing rumors that the concept of the roundabout in Fort Mojave is dead.
I'm hoping, and I had a meeting with them. You know, Senator, are we still going to do those roundabouts? I'm like, well, you're the only ones in my district that want those roundabouts.
Yeah.
You know, well, I don't know about that. You know, I do.
I went to two of those meetings that were open to the public, and there was nobody in the room that stood up and go, this is a great idea.
Yeah, this is a great idea. I said, I suggest you guys use that money for helping out Mojave County or somewhere else.
Killer was, in one of the meetings that was held up at Fox Creek, I stood up and I said, I have a question for you. I said, when you talk about the roundabouts, why didn't you put one in at Hammer Lane where Casa Serrano is on a corner? Hammer Lane does not line up. It's off 30, 40 feet or whatever.
Larry,
doesn't line up on each side of the highway.
Larry, common sense is not common. Don't try to.
Because that would have been the perfect place to put a roundabout in, you know.
You can't think common sense, man.
Instead, they put two U-turns in the middle of a highway.
Yeah.
And so I said to the guy, I said, why didn't you put one in there? He goes, well, we're going to be changing that whole, we're going to be making some improvements to that. I thought, improvements to it? You just put all that in a couple years ago. What you just said when you said improvements was you messed up the first time.
Yeah.
And you guys are ADOT. You're not supposed to do that.
Well, it's just like when they pave a road and they tear it up to put in a sewer line.
Yeah. I know. Sonny Borelli, our state senator, always accessible, comes in here. And just before I went into the studio, I walked over to use the restroom, and Sonny was sitting out there in the food court. And I said, oh, we're at church today. And he said, yes, it's Red Friday. Why is it Red Friday? Tell everybody.
Well, return everyone deployed.
Yeah. I wear a red shirt every Friday. I didn't watch. Every Friday.
Return everyone deployed.
Yeah.
God bless our troops. And, folks, keep them in your prayers. And God bless our first responders because they're having a tough job out there.
And you're a veteran.
Yeah, I'm a veteran, yeah. Yep. 20 years in the Marines, yep.
20 years in the Marines. So you retired from the Marines.
Retired Marine, gunnery sergeant, yeah. Did 22 years in the Marine Corps, and my oldest son is in the Marine Corps also. He tied me in rank. He's a gunny.
Oh.
And by the time he gets done with his next tour of duty on embassy duty, he'll be a first sergeant.
So he'll beat Dad.
Oh, he'll beat me. He says, hey, you know, I'm going to outrank you, Dad. I'm like, yeah. And he says, I'll be a first sergeant. You know what that means? I'll go, yeah, I get to say yes for sergeant. No,
so now you're
sergeant.
You're not the tallest adult. Is he taller than you?
He actually is, yeah.
He is?
But I think I'm older getting taller and shrinking.
Yeah. So he's going to outrank you, and he's taller
than you. Well, he's taller than me right now. I'm like, okay, son. I'll say yes for sergeant, no for sergeant. I go pound sand for sergeant. But here's the deal, son. If I'm still an elected official, technically you still got to salute me. He goes, you know what, Dad? You're right. I'm good with that. I'm like, okay. It's all good. I mean, I'm happy. Yeah.
Good,
yeah.
Good. So now how much longer are you in the Senate?
This is my second term in the Senate, so this is my third year, so second term. I'm going to be running for re-election.
Three terms,
yeah,
right.
You can go.
That's your limit.
You can go eight. You can go, yeah, four terms. So.
Oh, okay.
Or, yeah,
four terms.
So yeah, it's eight consecutive years in the House or eight consecutive years in the Senate.
Oh, okay. All
so,
right.
Yeah, I'll just keep running until it just gets. I'm not effective anymore. I've had enough.
Yeah. But you are effective, and you hear that from your constituents in the county, right?
I try hard. Okay. I try hard.
Well, thank you very much for coming in.
I appreciate it.
And I hope the listeners appreciate the fact that Friday is your day to go home.
Yeah.
And so you went home, and then you came up to Laughlin, and now you got to go back to Havasu. You, no other meetings up here today?
No. I got home late last night, started opening up mail, and then, of course, I got to go home, finish opening up mail, and I got to do some light house cleaning. And, I've got to come back up for a meeting tomorrow.
And it's almost a regular routine every weekend, that type of 4 days beating the feet down there. And they're not 8-hour days in Phoenix.
No. It's like, I don't know. I used to say that by my Marines, okay, we're working a half day tomorrow. We are? Yeah, 6 to 6.
Yeah.
So I'll get to my office at 8, and usually I'll leave about 6 o'clock or maybe, I try not to stay too late. But
but when you go back to your apartment or wherever you have there, you're not done.
No, generally not, because I'm on the phone, I'm doing emails, and,
go so you're grab people for dinner.
Yeah, wolfing down dinner somewhere. And
yep.
Yeah, your eating habits, you know, you put on a lot of weight because your eating habits get a weird cycle to it.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, of course, then you're looking at it and go, okay, man, the D-backs are playing and they got to get 5 runs. I need some dem tacos.
Yeah. Sonny Borelli, thank you so much for coming in. We appreciate it. And we'll pick a day next month and we'll do it again.
You bet. Good luck, folks. God bless you. And improve your net and hire a vet.
Quit smoking now and head to the Vaporium of Laughlin, the premier vape supply shop. With their wide selection of e-liquid to hardware, Vaporium also prides themselves in high-quality customer service and vape shop experience. Try before you buy. Don't have vaping remorse. The members-only program is free to join. Receive coupons, access to sales pricing before the general public, invites to special events, and more. The Vaporium is thanking all our veterans with a special veterans discount. The Vaporium of Laughlin, across from the Golden Nugget.
Meet Kevin.
So, did you fix my car?
All done. Here's your bill.
Kevin saves money on car repairs at the local mechanic.
Thanks, Mike. You take the Co-op Connections card, right?
Saving money is easy with the Co-op Connections card. It's the card that helps you shop local and save with big discounts all over town.
Yep, that'll take 20% off your total.
Best of all, it's free to Co-op members just like Kevin and you.
This message is brought to you by Mojave Electric Cooperative, an equal opportunity employer and provider.
Come play where the locals win, Aquarius Casino Resort. Joseph from Lake Havasu City won $2,045 playing video poker. Kenneth from Laughlin won $5,400 playing triple cash. John from Bullhead City won $5,600 playing Wheel of Fortune. And Mary from Needles won $25,000 playing triple double red, white, and blue. You could be our next big local winner at Aquarius Casino Resort today.
Working in the medical field? It's the fastest growing profession in the tri-state. If you or someone you know is working in or starting a career in the medical field, trust the folks at Anything Medical to provide quality scrubs, shoes, and professional equipment, all at the very best prices available. And be sure to remind your patients to visit Anything Medical when prescribing orthopedic braces, shoes, wound supplies, respiratory aids and service, or any home medical equipment. Anything Medical, 2350 Miracle Mile Way in the Riverview Mall. Visit Anything Medical today.
Does the Tax Cut and Jobs Act have you confused about what's in the new tax law for you? How will the new tax law affect your tax return? Hi, I'm Mike Bonney with GDK CPA. If you answered yes to these questions, know that you are not alone. We at GDK CPA are experienced in all of the details of the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act. We have vast knowledge on how to prepare your tax return and take advantage of the new tax law. Call Mike Bonney or Dawn Bartel, GDK CPA, today at 928-680-1994. Be at ease with GDK CPA.
This is T.G. Lafredo. Join me for Focus on Your Health, Saturday at noon. This week my guest is Chief Robert DeVries of the Kingman Police Department. We're talking all about drugs and drug abuse in Kingman and Mojave County.
We need to take the three-prong approach. You have to have strong enforcement on those kind of activities, but we need the treatment and the prevention to really have an impact. And we're starting to see some of those impacts here in the community.
That's Focus on Your Health, Saturday at noon, right here on KNTR.
The Beatles, Beatle Friday, every week here on Speak Out 2.0. I'm Larry Toonforce. Hey, there's a lot of things going on this week.
The voice of the free, KNTR Talk 106.3, KJJJ Laughlin, HD2.